All right, brothers and sisters, let's open our Bibles. And we're going back into 2 Timothy. We're in that fourth chapter. What a glory. And I am thankful to God that the exceeding riches that He's given us in this precious chapter. And I'm thankful to Jesus that we trust Him and we look to Him. And it's going to be by His Spirit that He continues to open these things up in our lives, make them real, and have us to be, as Brother Hill would encourage so many times, just like that cow underneath that tree, just sit down and chew that cud. And God help us to take the grace. It's all there, that this would never grow old. Never grow old. Only more exciting day by day as we abide till Jesus come. But we're going to pick it up tonight in the ninth verse. And we left off a couple weeks back with Paul's superlative encouragement of the crown that waits those that love His appearing. And matter of fact, see, the ones that love His appearing, they're holding it fast, which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. It's theirs. They know that by God's grace He's given. They know that by God's grace He gives the strength to hold it fast. And they know by God's grace He is the author and finisher of our faith. See, I am not preaching that any of us have apprehended. That would be a mistake. That we've already won. No. But I do preach Him that is faithful and true. I do preach Him that is going to perform the good work which He's begun. I preach the grace of God and the confidence in His grace and love. That's where you put your confidence. And I'll tell you what, I believe by God's grace, you take it and sit right there at the feet of Jesus, as the Word of God tells us. You'll be enjoying the midst of the throne with Him forevermore. How wonderful. But we thank God that it's because of the great love of Jesus that that love empowers us and transforms us. And you think, moment by moment, from glory to glory, even to the very image of Him. And it transforms us to be jointly reigning together with Him. The Word of God says that it transforms us that someday to be glorified together with Him. The place seated in the midst of the throne together with Him. And I was thinking, Lord, thank You, God, for that never-ending honeymoon to come, called the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness to us. I await that. Oh, thanks be to God. Take that cup of salvation, Son, and just drink me in. But you see, it's because of this that Paul here has been encouraging Timothy. Timothy, it's not worthy to be compared. You're going to suffer. You're going to have afflictions. But brother, press on. Reach. Fight the good fight of faith. Endure. Finish with a full joy. You'll be so glad that he did. Hallelujah. So now moving on to verse 9. Paul says to Timothy, do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. Now, Timothy, he's saying here, it's you. And I thank the Lord that this is such a precious testimony to my heart, that God encouraged Brother Paul, that the mantle that was given to Paul was now passing to Timothy. He says, I want to see you, son, for I am about ready to depart. Now, see, the Lord doesn't always do it that way. And I can testify by God's grace of how the Lord called me to be your pastor. Brother Hill did not choose me. Matter of fact, Brother Hill was in heaven before the Lord let it be known that I was going to be your pastor. Praise be to God. Now, if he would have done it otherwise, and if it would have encouraged Brother Hill's heart, and he knew from the Lord, as Paul was encouraging Timothy. I would say the same thing by the grace of God. Praise be to God. But see, the Lord knows what we need. We need him. We need to be confident in him. And I'm so thankful to God that there is no box with God. Praise the Lord for that. See, that's living by faith. See, man, all they want to see is the same old thing. You know, well, this is how it is. This is it. And God is just saying, you dummy. My ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. Stand back and see the mighty hand of God. So, I thank the Lord how he called my life into this place. And I thank the Lord for that testimony. And I thank the Lord for this meeting that we needed that. Couldn't have been any other way. Thank you, Jesus. But Paul here, he's got an unction. He's got a revelation. And he's encouraging Timothy. Son, I want to see you. And what a full joy it is, you think about Paul's heart here. The ones that love his appearing, to want to see and be with others that love his appearing. Isn't that something? See, listen to the testimony in these scriptures. Tonight, there's so much here that we're not even going to touch it. We're just going to look at it. It's just too deep. But listen, he that hath an ear, listen to what the Spirit saith to the churches. We need to pray for ourselves. We need to pray for one another. God, help us to have this kind of love. To not just be with people that might have our same natural worldly interests, that might not just be the people that, you know, maybe live in my neighborhood. Matter of fact, like I told you, nobody in my neighborhood really talks to me anymore. And that's okay. Not very popular to this world anymore. Amen. See, his word is true. Okay? So we don't get startled with that stuff. We don't back away by his grace. We go on. But see, Brother Paul so loved to be with ones, whether the other day when we were reading in Romans, he wanted to be around those of like precious faith because it encouraged him. It stirred that hope in him. As the Lord's encouraged me to say many times before, bridal saints love Christ's body just as much as they love the head, and the head just as much as the body, because it's Christ. Do we get that? Do we understand that? Brothers and sisters, we need to be a loving bunch. Praise God. But see, it's the evidence of it all. The bridal brotherly love. The love to gather with saints of like precious faith. And I will state this boldly. If we are satisfied to be with those and only those that are childlike in faith for our fellowship, then I believe that is the full evidence as to what your or my maturity would be. Amen? Come on now. If that's who we want to fellowship with, no matter how much we would know, that's where our level of faith has developed. And that's the truth. Paul, throughout the Word of God, he wanted to get away from the Corinthians. God had him there witnessing to him, but they were driving him crazy. Those ones trying to outdo the other, and oh, I'm more spiritual than you, or we've got a new thought, a new way. I've got a new truth, Paul. You want to hear it? No. And God sure built an appreciation in his life, didn't he? Even more so than he ever had, to be with saints of like precious faith. And he desired that fellowship. And here he is again. You know, he's getting ready to be offered. It's cold. It's lonely. And all he's thinking about is that high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Whether through the word, through prayer, or through fellowship. He wanted it all. Lord, let this witness to us tonight. But see, brothers and sisters, if that's where, well, there's an old saying. It says, birds of a feather flock together. You know that? You kind of tend to go that way, let's be honest. And as I was thinking about this, you know, I've told you how much I love feeding all the birds in Colorado in my backyard. But I love the robins, and I love the sparrows, and I love the hummingbirds. But there's nothing like eagles. When I went to Alaska and I saw them eagles, nothing like them eagles. And see, they're the king. And brothers and sisters, praise be to God. I like nothing else than to go soar with the eagles. Praise the Lord. Yep, there's some that think they're soaring, but I'll tell you, buzzards can get up there too. You got to watch it. But God help us to know it's the truth that we're after. All right, verses 10 through 12. For Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. Crescens to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee. For he is profitable to me for the ministry. And Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus. Now, you can hear the longing in Paul's heart. He had hoped for a lot of things. He had hoped for a sweet gathering. But you can hear what's so sad upon his heart. First and foremost is Demas. Demas, mentioned a couple other times in the Word of God, was very profitable to the ministry, very encouraging to Brother Paul, and joyous to Brother Paul. But I believe it was either Sunday or the Sunday before last. Even Demas' name tells it like it is. His name means popular. His name means fortune. And Demas saw what was going down with Paul. Demas saw what maybe the writing on the wall was for suffering for Christ's sake. And he said, I'm going to go another way. And brothers and sisters, we're in the balance in that too, in this day. People may not be being killed, in a sense, in the United States of America for the truth. But the itching ear is going after the popular way, man's mind. You see it. I mean, that's what fills the mega churches. The good God, good devil, good everybody doctrine. The prosper and be in health doctrine. The self-help within yourself doctrine. All these winds of doctrine, but only they're and overlooking the only one and true doctrine, which is Paul's gospel. And I'm confident, and Brother Copley mentions this as well, and I thank God for that sweet brother, that Demas didn't leave Christianity. He was still preaching. But as Paul's saying here, he wasn't preaching my gospel, Timothy. He still loves the Lord, but not first love. Because as it says right here, listen to this. Demas, in the 10th verse, hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. I pray we're seeking a kingdom whose builder and maker is God. What do you think? Amen. I look at this world, and everybody's trying to do everything they can to save it. And I'm preaching the gospel of Christ, and he says, what you wasting your time for? I'm going to have a new heaven and a new earth. Isn't that going to be amazing? Isn't that going to be wonderful? Hallelujah that we have eyes on that, see? But see, Demas, he settled not to endure and suffer. He chose the easier way, a more convenient path. But Paul is really encouraging Timothy. Timothy, you fight the good fight of faith, son. You endure hardness as a good soldier. You see, he has gone, Demas has gone to Thessalonica. And again, words mean things, and how true these words and the meaning of them are. Thessalonica means a victory over falsity. And sometimes, brothers and sisters, we can have a false victory. And in Demas's case, he thought he was having a victory. I appreciate again how Brother Copley says, sometimes we think that we can abuse the grace of God. But praise be to God, Paul's gospel makes it very clear. If we're going to reign with Christ, we're going to suffer with Him. We are. But see, in Demas' case, and as many other cases, one's turning away, I don't need to suffer like that. I don't need to sit in a place that preaches the whole counsel of God and maybe have one or two people talk about me. Oh, it makes me uncomfortable. For whatever excuse or reason it is. Brothers and sisters, we need to get over it. That's the trying of our faith. Lovest thou me more than these? We all have an excuse not to come to church. But that's really not an excuse at all, is it? We come to gather for this message. And this message of the proposal. It's like Brother Hagin was saying about how he loves this place. He loves the people. And I said, Brother, you love the proposal of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And thank the Lord how that message has encouraged him. Him at this time with his wife so sick and so alone in a sense in fellowship. But he knows that God is again performing that good work which he's begun. But see, oftentimes we can say, well, I don't need to suffer like that. I don't need to gather with those ones that love his appearing. I will win him because I have a head knowledge of it. I know that story. I hear people like this pretty much every week. I do not need to go to Living Waters to win God's best. And I say, you know what? You don't have to go to Living Waters to win God's best. But I will tell you this, there happens to be a little handful of people at Living Waters Tabernacle that are running to win God's best. And in that fellowship and in that love, you would love to gather with those people. Period. That's it. It's evident. Follow Paul as he followed Christ. If by any means, and that was the life that Paul was encouraged in his heart, was to go after that and to be with those that so treasured this gospel of the bride of Christ. But you see, the ones that are like Demas, they let down. They seek an easier path, and hence they go to Thessalonica. Yet all the while, that is not the finishing crown path. The perfect victory of the word of his grace, that mark is missed. And the end result, brothers and sisters, is a missed mark. The end result is I was close, but brothers and sisters, the mark is so exact, it's the prize for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, I'm thankful that very quickly, Paul did not dwell on that. See, sometimes we can get dwelling on ones that have affected or hurt us. And it's fine to have that longing and that pain, but God says to give it to me. We can dwell on things, brothers and sisters, and those things can defeat us. God help us to go right to the good report. And here's Brother Paul. He gets to the good report. Crescens, Titus. See, they did not forsake Paul, but they were filled with the grace of the glory doctrine. And Crescens, his name means growing. And where did he go? He went to Galatia, to those Galatians, those ones that were babes. Remember? Oh, Paul, he shook them up. But thanks be to God for Crescens, the one that was preaching a message. Grow up. Put away those childish things. It's time to run. It's time to mature. Jesus is coming. We need to be ready. And then Titus, see, his name means honorable. And he went to Dalmatia, and that Dalmatia means a priestly robe. So you see how honorable it was to be around those that loved the worship, brothers and sisters. And I look at this and I think about how precious this testimony is right here. You notice that none of these were going out to save the world. They weren't going out to preach to every creature. Who are they going to preach to? Christians. They were preaching to ones that the Lord had encouraged them. They're going to receive more. Go get them. Go encourage them. Go fellowship with them. Go give them the whole counsel of God. Do you see this? See, Paul's gospel, brothers and sisters, is not kingdom stuff. It's not. Paul's gospel, praise God, is the church age, the time to get ready for the bride. And then he says here so sweetly, only Luke is with me. Don't you want to be like Luke? Praise God. Oh, thank Jesus. See, he wasn't ashamed. Luke stayed with the stuff. He didn't care what was going down. He didn't care that Paul was being mocked and ones were fleeing. And I'm sure everybody was talking about Paul. Well, boy, did you hear what he did? That's how come he's right there. Oh, he must have done just something awful for them to just lock him up. Sound familiar? He stayed with the stuff. Come on. Think about these things. God help us to be encouraged. See, Luke's name means light. And isn't that wonderful? Even though Paul was a prisoner in Rome, he was just a prisoner of Christ. And as a prisoner of Christ, the light is always with you. Hallelujah. And what a precious vessel Luke is here. You think about the writer of the Acts and the writer of the book of Luke. And I thank God for Brother Ty and how he's brought so much out about that precious writer. And really making come alive as you're kind of stepping in the shoes of Luke, watching all of those high water marks come to pass in the Word of God. Oh, can you imagine that? And the Spirit would get him to write that down. And as he saw the transformation in Paul's life, and he could write about that. And he could write about Christ and the crucifixion. And he could write about all these things. And he could write about the parting of Barnabas and Paul. And he could write about all of those things. But what he was writing about all the time was the faithfulness of God. They're mine. Watch me. Praise be to God. Can you imagine? Hallelujah. And what a reward is awaiting, precious brother Luke. How wonderful that he was not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. See, this was, though he slay me, will I trust him. This was the same testimony that was going on in his life. God help us not to be ashamed of one another. Things do happen. They do. Whether self-induced or truly, again, a suffering with Christ. But may we take that life that lives in us and be the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Be encouraged. That's the lover. That's the ones that will rule and reign with Christ. Now going on to Mark. He says, take Mark, bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. Now Mark means the shining one. And again, how sweet that Paul calls for him. And see, this was the brother that was the focus, if you remember, of the dissension between Barnabas and Paul. This is the reason that there was that split, was over this sweet brother. Barnabas at that time wanted Mark to go with him on that missionary journey. And Paul was encouraged of the Lord and said, brother, Mark's not ready. He's not called for this. This is not going to be. And there was a dissension so great that it split them up. But yet, praise be to God, what a shining one Mark is as he is used in such a wonderful testimony to the faithfulness and the love of God. Now, there's a lot of possibilities here of all these things, and we can conjure a few things, and I always am a little bit hesitant too, but I would like to try to be encouraged of the Lord to meditate on a good report, and hopefully Mark returning and being so profitable to Paul, maybe that was an encouragement through Barnabas. Maybe, just maybe, that the Lord had encouraged that sweet brother's heart that, you know, this isn't about me. This isn't about me getting my way. This isn't about me looking bad. Paul's the chosen vessel. Now, Brother Mark, you go listen to him. I don't want to sway you away from God's best in your life, honey. And you go follow Paul as he followed Christ. Amen? Come on now. This is what it is. And there's a lot of lessons here. There's a lot of encouragement. And we're to endure the hardness as good soldiers, brothers and sisters. And there's going to be some very hurtful things along the way. There's going to be battles. There's going to be dissension. But God help us. Let our fellowship be in the gospel of Christ. But see, there's nothing more profitable than this shining one, Mark. And I pray that this speaks to us of what a testimony in the faithfulness and grace of God when one that might have departed, one that might have been used in a situation that brought a lot of pain, a lot of hurt, yet there's nothing like the restoration testimony. Nothing like it, is there? Come on now. What do you think that prodigal was, huh? That was the feast. That was the fatted calf. That was my ring, my robe, and a kiss. Huh? God help us not to be like that other son. That's the Pharisee at heart. Let him go prove himself a while before we let him back in. What are you doing, Dad? Don't miss the best part. And that's the best part, brothers and sisters, the testimony of the faithfulness of God. There's nothing sweeter to the body of Christ than those that truly we're caught in a situation that God has encouraged to come home. Praise be to God. We've all been there in one way, shape, or form. But praise the Lord for these magnificent shining testimonies like Brother Mark. You think there might have been a few that might have had a problem with Mark? Paul remembered when there was quite a few that had a problem with him. He's a killer. But God woke him up, didn't he? That he's my chosen vessel. All right? Now see, what we're getting at here is don't let Satan get you holding a grudge. Do you know that? See, you can't hold a grudge and a crown at the same time. You can't. Nope. That love, brothers and sisters, is a love that overcomes everything. Praise the Lord. Because it's his love. And that's the evidence of the bridal ones. You talk about a miracle. But as Brother Hill used to so simply say, the love of God just makes you love everybody. You start seeing souls. You don't see what people did to you, did to somebody else. You just love souls. Your precious Savior who lives in you, as he's being crucified, and all he could say was, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Forgive as Christ, praise the Lord. But see, brothers and sisters, God help us not to fool ourselves in thinking that we can hold some type of a resentment and be a full overcomer. Because a full overcomer is exactly what it says. it fully overcomes. A full overcomer has laid aside every weight, and that means exactly what it says in Hebrews 12:1. If we are going to run well, if we're going to finish with a full joy, you've got to lay aside every weight. Bible's very specific. And you know how I enjoy flying an airplane. I'm so grateful to God that I've had that thrill in my life. And airplanes have what's called a useful load. Brother Ty will tell you all about this. And what that means is every airplane can only carry so much. Once you exceed that useful load, that thing ain't going to fly very good. And hopefully you don't try it out, because that's the load that it can bear. Well, the Lord had me thinking about that, that you know what the bride's useful load is? Zero. Zero. You want to soar? You lay aside every weight. Whom he has made free is free indeed. Forgetting those things which are behind. Amen. Come on. Don't think about them. You know, I'm telling you, I'm thanking the Lord. I believe for the most part I'm looking at a company of people that have forgotten it about their brothers and sisters in the Lord and are so thankful. But I'm saying forgetting those things which are behind for you. Come on. He finished it for you too. This isn't being cavalier, but this is laying hold of the grace of God and thanking the Lord for what He's done. Do you realize what a thrill that is to the Godhead? Oh, my son. As they just rejoice. Oh, can you see our dear brother laying a hold of that grace? He finally let that thing go. Oh, that guilt that'd been dragging along, taking care of all those years. Praise be to God, he finally let it go. Come on now, those are the ones that fly. They're the ones that fly out of here at the first trump, because they don't have a weight on them. And don't let others try to put that weight on you. Pray for them. You don't have to be ugly. Don't enter into that. Somebody brings something up about something you did in the past, say, you know, I do regret that. I'm sad that that happened in my life. But I am so grateful for the mercy, for the grace, for the blood, for the promise, for the word, for the Spirit's power. Christ in me, the hope of glory. And I'm happy for that in you too. What you going to do with it? Huh? All right. But see, Tychicus to Ephesus. And his name means good fortune. And if you remember the word Ephesus, it means fully purposed. And fully purposed is, it's always fortunate to be around those that are fully purposed, don't you think? Oh, yeah. Sometimes we can let the enemy think that it's not fortunate. Sometimes the enemy can try to whisper to us, yeah, you don't have to endure that. And as I said the other day, isn't it amazing? And I do. I commend the love of God in the saints here. How we can dwell on maybe one or two that are being ornery when so many are lovely. Hmm? You know? It's amazing how people want to dwell even in the natural on an imperfection instead of dwelling on how much is beautiful. You know what I'm saying? Think about how, you know, even look in a mirror, you know. You're wonderfully and fearfully made, but you're going to find with that mole right there. Oh, I want the eyes of Christ. More and more and more. And what eyes they are. Lovely eyes. Loving eyes. Amazing stuff. I don't know what he's doing here, but I don't think I'm going to be here long. I really don't. I don't believe so. Thank you, Jesus. But it's always good fortune for ones to be with the fully purposed ones. It speaks of the Philadelphia saints over there in Ephesus, the full overcomers, the racehorses, the runners that finish and win, the ones that have a full joy. You know, I have people call me and send me emails every once in a while, and I know they mean well. Oh, brother, how can I pray for you? And if you really know how to pray for me, which I believe most of you do, that I win him. And it's almost an insult to some of them. No, I mean, what would you like to pray for? That I win him. That's it. Covers the rest of it. You know what I'm saying? And there'll be things, you know. Yep, there's things. But there's only one thing. That I may win him. Praise God. Finally, this cloak. And let's read verse 13 here. The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, but especially the parchments. That is some good stuff. Now see, winter was coming. Paul needed a coat. And what is meant by this coat, it was a very, very heavy coat. It was a coat that was meant for storms. It was a coat to keep warm in the dead of winter. And what symbolism here that Paul's gospel is heavy. It's heavy. Praise be to God. It's weighty. Now, I was thinking how in that sweet Rebecca, as she was met there at the well by the servant, for such a beautiful woman. Boy, she was beautiful, the Bible tells us. Boy, she was a strong one, wasn't she? She had some strength, just a little strength, but strength enough to go get that water and water all the camels. Just a little strength that servant just sat back there and went, I'm speechless, I don't even know what to say. My master said that I'd find her. I didn't realize she'd be this stunning. I can't imagine that she would be so perfect to what the Father said, the Word, that she would be. So, Paul's gospel, how wonderful. And that's what this coat speaks of so much here. In Carpus, it says, and his name means fruitful. He'd taken that coat to Troas, which means Trojan. And see, the Trojan speaks of a warrior. And only the fruitful can take Paul's gospel. And isn't it wonderful that it's the warriors or the good soldiers, these Trojan ones, are the ones that lay hold of this coat, this precious gospel. And I think of the layers in the meaning of the Word of God is so awesome. And you think about this heavy coat. Again, how it warms us, brothers and sisters. Through every storm, the full overcomer coat gospel. That's Paul's gospel. See, only his gospel can comfort like that. And we know that in knowing what the Lord has purposed and planned, the provision and the power to win him, to rule and reign jointly together with Christ Jesus, to be glorified together with him, to be the bride, the Lamb's wife. That comforts over everything. When that is real to us, when that is, by God's grace, our single purpose, it comforts everything. And it does. Paul mentions and says it's not worthy to be compared. These temporal sufferings, that means it's not even worthy to be mentioned. God help me not to even think for one moment that there's anything that could compare or be worth griping about in what Christ has been offered to me. Now, that's not to feel bad about. That's not to feel guilty and don't let the enemy get you on that angle. That's to be thankful about. That's to be rejoicing about. That's to give God glory for. That, Lord, that knowledge, and I'm talking about the intimacy of Christ and his wife, is not just something that I see afar off, but that it's mine. That it is the controlling factor of my life. That it is the grace of God that is with me, but it's the grace of God that ignites that passion. As David said, my soul panteth after thee. I'm delirious for you. Yeah, that is awesome. But that's how this is, brothers and sisters. And here we go, even in times when the love of many is waxing cold, that this coat, this Paul's gospel coat, warms us to the core. It strengthens the inner man. And let me tell you something, the time we're living in, we need this coat or we will sink into despair. And that was what Paul was testifying of here. I want to be encouraged with this precious gospel. I need it. I want that fellowship. I want that coat. I want the books, but most of all, I want the parchments. And this is what it's all about, is that fellowship in this precious gospel. But you see, you notice the time's up. The coat now is going to be returned. It's as if it was so freely given. The fruitful one had taken it out there to give to these ones at Troas. They were in need of it, but now it's as if they're not in need of it anymore. They had put it off, just like so many that have heard this precious gospel. And let me tell you something. You better get it while you're in season. Don't say there's a more convenient time. God's dealing with you now. And he is a God of now. And Lord, help us to be quick to believe. I don't want to be like those brothers that were slow to believe. And then thought afterwards, man, didn't you kind of burn when he was talking to you? Man, when that heart starts a-flaming, let's go. Let's don't delay. See, that's that Rebecca. She knew. And praise be to God, she responded. Hallelujah. And that's what it is. But see, that coat will only be worn by those that love his appearing. See, the Lord, he don't just scatter that seed like that. He's exact. And that's why I say, precious hearts, and I mean that. He's given that to you. He's given this to you. You are hearing this. You have heard this. This isn't something for the guy next to you. This is yours. And praise be to God if it's for the guy next to me too. But this is mine. And Lord, help us to be encouraged to take it like that. But you see, that coldness that Paul knew was going on in these different ones, and especially as the coat would come back, cold makes you grow sleepy. Did you know that? Even in the natural? Did you know before people freeze to death, they actually fall asleep? And see, only Paul's gospel can keep us warm and awake and alive at this time. Anything else and you'll grow cold. You will. You'll grow sleepy. You won't be awake and alive without Paul's gospel. Oh, you can, and I do. I hear it every week. Well, brother, I don't have to hear that. I'll be ready. And I said, well, that doesn't say that in the Word of God. And I don't mean that in any haughty or anything of that way, but it's laughable, cryable. What and who do you think you are? Preach the word. Be instant. Don't be ashamed of it. Don't try to pacify people just because they're close to you. Sometimes we're so much more forceful and bold. I shouldn't say forceful, but bold with people that we really don't know. You know what I'm saying? But boy, when they become close family members or ones that we don't know, shake them up. Wake them up. It's not you that's going to do it, but by God's grace, I'll tell you what, I want to be a trumpeter. Call to arms. It's time to go. But the coat really speaks of, again, the gospel. But as he winds up here, he says, especially the parchments. See, he wanted not only the word of God, because see, in Rome, Paul most likely would have had access to, and they would have brought him an Old Testament in that regard. But he wanted the writings that the Holy Ghost had penned with his hand. And he wanted the epistles. He wanted Paul's gospel. Isn't that something? Isn't that funny to think of that? But you see what what's so beautiful about that is, yes, it was his gospel, but he was a vessel that was used to write the gospel. You understand? And he needed that gospel just like you and I, just as he said. He said, not unto me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. He wanted that word. He wanted that precious message in writing of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And you say, well, brother, how do we know that, you know, those things were about and that he had those available at that time? Well, if you go over here to 2 Peter, I just love how it all comes together. See, the Bible, let me tell you something. You talk about line upon line and a mighty fortress is our God. Just rightfully divided here. But in 2 Peter in chapter 3, here is Peter saying, and let's see, where are we going to read from here? Verse 15. That's 2 Peter 3:15. An account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, and even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things. So see, they had the writings. They were there. And praise the Lord that he that is faithful and true had this word readied for those that would will to know the will of God. And I also think that this speaks of how important it is to have the word of God. I've heard people ask, well, do you really think that you'd really have to know Paul's gospel to be in the bride of Christ? And I say, absolutely. You need to know of the bridegroom. You need to know that. And see, you can get caught up and off into a lot of thoughts, and that can even bring you back to the ones that say, well, then, if God was no respecter of person, then why did he have this group born here and born there? And all I can say is, you dummy, whom he foreknew. Whom he foreknew. Now, he would that all men be saved and come to the full knowledge of the truth. But let me tell you something. God is sovereign. He's divine. He's all-knowing. And I know that he is not a respecter of person. But we thank God in this. But see, Paul wanted these precious scriptures. And to read over and over, to study it. Can you imagine to even grow more? See, Paul never got haughty in himself. There was no righteousness in him. He said that I would only be found in his righteousness. The humility, the humbleness. That, Lord, as I'm drawing breath, I want to be reading the scriptures. I want to be fellowshipping in the gospel of Christ. I don't need you parading me around. I want to get in to Bible study. That's really what this is. I want to encourage myself in the Lord. And I'm thankful I can pray. I'm thankful for these brothers. I'm thankful for all of the different things, God, that you have brought, but especially the parchments. I want to read the word. I want to. Praise God. Let this speak to you. See, it was comforting to him. It was his only comfort. To heed those things which he had heard, lest at any time he'd let them slip. And yet here we are sometimes, we think we know. I've heard that enough. I know that story of the bride. Boy, God help us to be humble like Paul. He could never get enough. And what a testimony, again, of that surrendered vessel. And thanking the Lord that Paul was not confident in himself. He was confident in the gospel of Christ. Isn't that precious? Do you see? Even though he was the chosen vessel to bring this forth, and he knew who he was in Christ. He knew where Christ had placed him in the body. But yet he knew that his sufficiency was truth in love. It was the word of his grace. And that's the only thing that would build Christ in me, the hope of glory, to its fullest. I just think that's so beautiful. So absolutely stunningly gorgeous. And that's why the Lord was so preciously smitten with Paul. And that's why God had him to write, "Follow me as I follow Christ. Not in word only, but in deed and in truth." I love people. Think of how he loved the Hebrews there as he said, "I'd give my own life for you." What love. But he loved them enough to tell them the truth. And he loved his Christian brethren enough to say, "Who hath bewitched you?" He loved the family of God enough to say, "Preach no other gospel." He was a testimony of the whole counsel of God enough to say, "Assemble yourselves the much the more as you see that day approaching." And not only to quote or to write, but by God's grace to live that. In every aspect of his life, in every group that he talked to, that testimony was consistent. He wanted to assemble himself. Think of the hurts that Paul must have received, even some of the ones we read about. He didn't try to withdraw himself from those. He didn't just cross off Mark. Well, he was the little one that was the real impetus of the problem, so he's done. He's dead to me. I know I'm not talking to anybody like that in here. Oh, he caused so much trouble. I'm glad you're quiet. And Paul says, "Oh, you bring him to me." Think how precious that was. Of all the ones that are mentioned there. And precious. But he said, "He's profitable to me." Because he's the showpiece of the grace of God. Do we get it? Are we rejoicing? Have we gathered at the feast for the prodigal has come home? Huh? And see, I don't say that sitting in a high house. "Oh, the prodigal has come home." No. Right there at the feet of Jesus with him. "Praise be to God, brother, you come home. Praise be to God." Yes, that's the love of Jesus, folks. We don't have that. don't care how many Bible studies you've sat in. I don't care how long you've come to a church that's preached the whole counsel of God. It has not worked completely effectually in you. I heard our precious pastor tell ones before he went, he said, you have to let that go. And you can only say that when you speak from experience. Every root of bitterness. We're in the home stretch, folks. And here we are. And in Paul's gospel, Colossians 1:25, it says that he and his gospel was used to fulfill or complete the word of God. Now how precious that Paul wanted to enjoy and feast upon it. And all I can say is, Lord, help us to have an insatiable appetite for the finishing gospel. The gospel that we know that if we will heed, will fill us with all the fullness of God. Will make us the readied one as Paul for a twinkling eye flight into the realms of glory, face to face with the bridegroom. Amen. Let's stand and be dismissed.